The Walking Dead Talk Through, Episode 66, Monsters Review.
Welcome to The Walking Dead Talk Through, a fan podcast dedicated to The Walking Dead on AMC. Join us each week as we discuss the characters, story developments, and theories of The Walking Dead. Send in your thoughts about each episode by calling 304-837-2278 or by visiting our feedback page at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And now, here's your hosts, Brian and Ruthie.
Hey, survivors, and welcome to another episode of The Walking Dead Talk Through. I am Brian.
And I'm Ruthie.
And this fair evening, we are here to discuss Season 8, Episode 3, which is titled Monsters. And I think this is the first time I can remember seeing this since Frank Darabont did it for episodes 1 and 2 of the series, where we have the same writers for 2 episodes in a row. And don't quote me on that. I haven't researched it. This is just my memory. I could be wrong, but pretty sure I'm right, actually. It's written by Matthew Negrete and Channing Powell, much like the last one was, and directed by executive producer Greg Nicotero, who didn't direct the last episode, but he did direct the premiere. All right, well, it is now time to hear Shane say,
"There's a couple weird stories on the news."
All right, well, we're going to just go straight into ratings and say, unfortunately, much like last week, we do not like the trend. 3.79 in the 18 to 49 with 8.519 million viewers. Of course, you know, compared to other TV shows, it's still pretty good. But it is down from last week, which was a 3.99 in the 18 to 49 with 8.923. I said the same thing last week, where last week were the lowest ratings seen since season 2, episode 12, Better Angels. And now I can say that this episode has the lowest rating since season 2, episode 12, Better Angels. So, not too good. And, you know, quite honestly, I'm a little surprised by this because last week we had a pretty good football game from what I understand, and the World Series on. And this time there's no World Series. And from what I saw on the ratings, the football ratings weren't so great, but neither was Walking Dead. So now Talking Dead got a 1.30 in the 18 to 49 with 3.119 million viewers. That is lower than last week's 1.40. So it's down a tenth in the 18 to 49. With 3.246 million last week. And as you see the nice little dots and lines, it's looking like this is the third lowest season for viewers and ratings so far. So, I don't even know if I want to mention this bit of a news headline because I have a feeling someone on the other end might get into a rant. But during a conference call with Wall Street analysts, it says today, I'm not sure if that was today or yesterday, but I think it was yesterday, to discuss AMC's strong third quarter results. CEO Josh Sapan said that the zombie phenomenon has a good shot to remain a top performer for the network for many more years, if not decades. And the article that you see linked on the Facebook group, he goes into more detail. But and I was talking about this with Ruthie before we started recording, and you know, this is classic evidence of a CEO who is trying to get milking their sacred cow for maximum revenue to delight his shareholders. Yet, of course, you know, I don't think they can be doing zombie TV for, you know, 50 years like Star Trek or something. It's crazy to say decades, you know, and it's just, it's not a good thing, especially when the show seems to be in decline, to make it sound like, you know, they're going to have like Walking Dead cereal and Walking Dead, you know, pajamas and Walking Dead, you know, cell phones and whatever else, trying to merchandise the crap out of the property. And it's just not a good thing.
Well, I think they kind of don't really understand that something like Star Trek is actually a rare occurrence. I mean, I can't really think of any other TV shows except for Doctor Who, I guess. So Doctor Who and Star Trek are the only TV shows that have been around through, you know, multiple iterations since the 60s, pretty much. Maybe, I can't remember if Doctor Who started in the 50s, but anyway, must have. I can't remember. In any case, I mean, it wasn't just the CEO, because Scott M. Gimple said the same thing. And I don't know if Kirkman said it too, but I don't know. I just, to me, it seems foolhardy to want that kind of a thing, because, I mean, most shows that don't have a plan tend to get lost in the weeds, I guess. And you can kind of tell when you're watching it. Like, I would cite Lost, except for I didn't watch it live the whole way. So watching it, binge watching it and sticking with it week to week are completely different animals. But from what I understand, for people who did watch it week to week, it got, not to be too punny, but it kind of got lost there in the middle part. But it pulled it back together when they decided that when they picked an end date, I guess they had an end date and they made an end plan. Then it kind of pulled itself out of the mire, so to speak. But a soap opera is the only thing that I can think of that goes on forever and ever and doesn't have an end date or an end plan in mind, because that's the nature of a soap opera. It just goes on forever and ever. But what ended up happening with, I think, every daytime soap that there ever existed is they all got canceled. So if that's what you want to have happen, AMC, if you want to basically milk that cow until it dies and people scoff at you in the end, because daytime soaps used to be popular at one point in time, but now it's like the stuff of, you know, mockery and cannon fodder, pretty much. No one looks at a soap opera and says, oh, that's quality TV.
Right. Right.
So,
yeah.
I personally think it's better to go out on top than to basically, I mean, it's like, you know, okay, you've seen Dazed and Confused, right?
Yeah,
the movie.
Linklater movie. Richard Linklater. I think that's how you say his name.
I don't know. I just know it's a movie. And yeah. Matthew McConaughey's in it, and he plays the old guy who's not in high school anymore. And that's the problem. When you're that old guy who's not in high school, but you're still hanging out at the high school party, you don't know when to leave. That's what that's what's going to happen to The Walking Dead. We're going to become that high school jock that was so cool in high school that sticks around well past his welcome. That's what's going to happen to The Walking Dead, I'm afraid. And I don't want that to happen. I would rather that it ended well rather than becoming a joke and a laughingstock. So I don't know. That's what I think.
Right. Well, hopefully it will never come to that, but we will see.
Well, I honestly don't have much hope for that, because that's what they all seem to want. They all seem to want to be that gross old guy at the party who can't take the hint to leave. That's what they all want, because they keep saying it. Oh, it's going to go on for decades.
Right.
Do you understand? I mean, you people are TV people. You should understand that that's what will happen, is you will become that guy at the party that people are like, this creepy old guy is hitting on me. I mean, I don't understand why they think this is a good idea. I mean, everybody wants their favorite thing to last forever until it does. And then you're like, oh, well, I wanted it to last forever when it was season 5, episode 1. I wanted that to last forever because I love that.
Right.
But when it's no longer great, you know, I mean, we were talking about shows like Grey's Anatomy and NCIS. I loved Grey's Anatomy when it first came on. I used to watch it with anticipation and bated breath. And now they stack up, and I end up binge watching them. Like last season, I think I watched the first 3 episodes, and then about 9 months later, I binged watched the rest of them. And I haven't even gotten started on the season premiere this season. And it's in its 14th season. It's just not at the top of my list anymore.
Right.
Which is unfortunate, because, you know, most of the time it's still a pretty good show. But at the same time, just it's no longer appointment TV, I guess, is what you would say.
Yes, we will. And we have. All right. So let's talk about rating this episode. So Ruthie, what did you think of Monsters?
I would probably give this episode so hard to come up with a number. I'd probably give it a 6 out of 10, 6 out of 10. I don't know.
All right.
Let's 6 out of 10 found babies.
Found babies. Okay. All right. So, last week I gave it a 9.25. Said I didn't like it as much as the premiere. This week I liked it more. And I liked it more than the premiere, but the premiere I gave a 9.5, and I'm starting to think that's a little high for it. So I'm going to give this one a 9.5 and knock that one down to 9.35. So the premiere is 9.35 now. And I'm going to give this one a 9.5. Say that it wasn't perfect, but there was a lot that I liked about it. And I give it 9.5. Unexpected Atlanta acquaintances. Although I guess he's not that unexpected, because we saw in the last episode. Mm-hmm. How about 9.5 crazy fights? I don't know. And I'm thinking about Morgan with the capital C of crazy there.
Yeah. That was interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with Morgan. I'm actually a little surprised that Lenny James has been on the show for so long.
Yeah, you'd kind of, well, you'd think that he would be on to, you know, greater pastures. But then again, this is probably, you know, one of the one of his roles that he's known the best for, I guess. Anyway, so we've got some other listener ratings. Why don't you start with Cheryl?
All right. Cheryl says, I rate this episode 8.5 out of 10, Walkers Rolling Down the Hills.
PB and Zane, Judy, gives it 8 out of 10, Maggie's Mom Personas Kicking In.
Dieta says, I give this episode 8 out of 10, Stop with the We Don't Need to Kill crap. This is all out war.
Reese, who was one of my guest hosts on the premiere, she didn't care for it too much. She rated it 6.5 out of 10, Ezekiel speeches.
Lara says 8.25 out of 10, tearful and sudden goodbyes.
And Faith gives it 9 out of 10, man's words. All right. Now it is time for Awesome Sauce.
Awesome Sauce!
All right. So let's start with our listener, Awesome Sauce. I'll read the first one. Cheryl says, the Awesome Sauce for this week is the What Would Jesus Do versus What Would Morgan Do? Jesus and Morgan's ninja fight scene and how Morgan definitely was in the kill zone. When we all realized that Morgan was just reacting and surviving and not just mad at Jesus, that made me take notice.
All right. Judy says, bye-bye, Morales. Oh, Morales and Rick. Bye-bye, Morales. Good job, Daryl. That's my awesome sauce. By the way, Daryl takes out Morales. And Todd!
Yeah. Yeah, he was pretty no-nonsense by his... He did not have any moral conundrums. That's for sure.
Nope. All right. Sure didn't.
All right. Reese says, Morales being killed. I don't understand why he was brought back since he wasn't a memorable character and he didn't add anything to the story. He spent his limited screen time being angry at Rick for no apparent reason, and I was happy when Daryl killed him because he was a waste of time.
I could not agree more.
Yeah, you know, like, I don't think they brought back his character to bring back his character. It was more to get Rick to kind of take pause and reflect and wonder how different they truly were, you know, and, you know, hesitate about killing everyone, you know, because that's what it seems like. It seems Rick doesn't see the need to kill everyone, whereas, you know, Daryl, for example, and Tara and Morgan, I guess, they want to kill them all.
Yep. I thought he was completely unnecessary. What? I mean, honestly, what was the point?
There really wasn't one. Not a great one.
I didn't think there was much of a point. I don't know. It seemed like, I don't know, when he was like, oh, so you're the Rick, that I'm like, of course he's the Rick. Come on. Can't tell me that he didn't know that. It just seems implausible that he would not know that that was that Rick, I guess. I don't know. It irritated me that he, without knowing, I mean, neither of them know what either of them have gone through since they parted, you know. But it seems to me that Morales is making some large leaps because of what's going on. Now, here we have a character who we didn't follow from. I mean, people keep talking about if we had stuck with Negan's group from the beginning, we would think that Rick was the bad guy, blah, 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 blah. It kind of seems like they were trying to play off of that by bringing him in, and he hooked up with Negan because Negan saved him. But I don't know. I stated my case last week for why I don't feel like that's true or, you know, whatever. But I don't know. It just kind of seems like it seemed to me like Morales was making some assumptions about Rick, but Rick was not making assumptions about Morales. Like, he didn't assume that Morales had become a bad guy because he had hooked up with Negan. He kind of just assumed that he had been through some tough things, you know? But Morales is making that kind of assumption about Rick. Morales assumes that Rick is a bad guy now because of what's happening. But, like, you don't really think that all the things that Negan does are good, right? I mean, no one agrees 100% with Rick either, but at the same time, I will say again, Rick has never tried to subjugate anyone. He's never tried to force multiple women to marry him. He has not instituted what basically amounts to slave labor. He does expect people to contribute, but I don't know.
Yeah, it seems like Morales is, you know, sentencing Rick to the one thing that he did do, which was go to that satellite station and kill everyone there, you know, and that wasn't the best thing he's ever done. But, you know, we talked about it then and I still feel the same way now. It was justified because they would have come and did the same thing. And you know what? That's what they're doing. So,
yeah, so. Everyone points to that one instance. And to that, I would say, I agree. Rick's not perfect. But at the same time, that's one thing that you're talking about that they thought was a smart idea because they thought that they were trying to liberate another group who was being suppressed by this group at this outpost.
Yeah.
So if you look at it from that perspective.
Yeah. I mean, they thought they could come in and take care of it, you know, in one fell swoop. And, you know, clearly that hasn't worked out so well, but,
yeah,
you know,
they all point to Rick as being this terrible person because of what happened at that satellite outpost or whatever. But no one pauses to think, well, why did he do that? You know, what were the reasons behind these actions? Could it possibly have been the fact that these people kept taking more and more of the Hilltop stuff? And I don't know. I just.
And they were, you know, asking for, you know, Gregory's head, which, quite honestly, I kind of get now.
Yeah, well, he's a. Anyway.
Not that, you know, not that anyone deserves that, but, you know, if there ever was anyone that kind of deserved that, he'd be near the top of my list.
Scumbag.
Yeah. He could have gotten the what's his face? Jeremiah Otto treatment.
Jeremiah Otto.
Yes, the old guy from Fear. And I know you've watched that far.
Oh yeah, so. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
All right.
So, but of course, I mean, it's like, have you watched The Americans? Do you watch that show?
No.
Well, briefly, it's about the Cold War in the 1980s. And there are two Russians who are living in the U.S. as Americans. And that's not giving away anything because that's the premise of the show.
Yeah, so, I know the premise. Yeah.
Well, I'm just talking about for everyone.
Yeah.
The idea behind it is that they are so indoctrinated that they are living in this country and they still think that not necessarily the people, but the country as a whole, they are evil.
Right.
And their leaders are evil and that the citizens need to be saved from them because they are evil, basically. But we don't, I mean, we certainly don't feel that way about our country. And I'm not really remembering the 80s that well, as in not being plugged into the geopolitical situation. I can't say for sure whether or not America believed that Russia was evil. I mean, they were called the Axis of Evil or something like that. Was that?
So, and for the most part back then, and you know, I wasn't American, but I grew up a mile from the border, so I can say with a lot of confidence that yes, that is what we grew up to believe. So,
you know. Right. So in this situation, I think that the saviors are Russia. And that Rick is America. And depending on which side you're on, you think the other one is evil.
Okay.
Just so happens that I can look at the whole situation and feel like the saviors are actually the evil ones.
Does that make Negan Stalin?
Oh, I don't know.
Probably be kind of accurate, I guess.
Yeah, I was going to say, he certainly killed a lot of his own people. So, yeah. More than Hitler, I think, apparently. I don't know. I can't remember specifically the facts and all that stuff. But there's one Russian leader, whether it was Stalin or Lenin or whomever, that basically oversaw the deaths of thousands upon thousands of his people and didn't. Really bad an eye, I guess. He was a bad dude. But I don't know. So.
All right. Why don't you read Dietas?
Okay. Dietas says, "My awesome sauce is Daryl. He is taking no prisoners, literally. I figured Morales' return was going to be a short one, and either Rick or Daryl was going to be the one to end him. Turns out it was Daryl."
Yeah, it was definitely Daryl.
I thought it was kind of cool when he's like, "Yeah, I know who he was." I was like, "All right." Daryl's making the tough decisions.
All right. Next is Laura, and she has two, therefore, awesome sauci, as we call them. She says, two deaths. Number one, even though I saw Eric's death coming since episode one, heck, in honesty, since last season, Aaron and Eric's last moments were touching and the most real part of the episode. Ross Marquand's performance was sincere and heart-wrenching. Second, the death of Morales, whose death I actually did not see coming, which therefore made it surprising and interesting. Well, I thought Jordan Woods Robinson, who plays Eric, his performance was actually quite good as well. And yeah, I thought that was very sad, and it gave me the feels.
You get all the feels.
Yeah. I mean, they weren't really, you know, they were a nice couple who, you know, I rooted for. And, you know, unfortunately, Eric, because he wasn't on screen very much, you know, he's very much a background character who, you know, kind of started getting a little more, you know, last season and then, you know, especially this season. Like Laura, I could see his death coming, and you know, so it wasn't a big surprise, but you know, still sad to see. And I've always liked Aaron's character and rooted for him, so you know, it's sad to see him lose his beau.
Yeah, I think if you didn't see that coming down Main Street, then you're a little blind, personally.
Yeah,
because I feel like everyone should have seen that coming. I mean, the minute he was like, "Oh, I'll go out there," I was like, "Oh, he did." And I felt bad because it's not like I wanted him to die, but I thought, "Oh man, this is gonna suck for Aaron." But he isn't necessarily dead. My fear is that he got kidnapped by the saviors. I doubt that. but
he was on the In Memoriam. So I
think, oh, was he?
Yeah, I think he's pretty much a goner.
Oh, well, I have not had a chance to watch Talking Dead yet. So
yeah. Yeah. Cause I heard, another podcast kind of, make the same kind of, prediction that, you know, they didn't think he was dead. I think he's dead. I mean, we didn't see him, but that the only reason why I think it's going to be, you know, like, Deanna, you know, we'll see her. We'll see him a couple episodes, you know, later in the forest. They'll, you know, Aaron will kill him then, you know, or something like that.
I feel like he should have taken care of it this episode if they were going to do that. I feel like this episode is the one that they were going to do. It's not like Eric's going to be walking around Alexandria. I mean, they are leaving this area. So,
yeah, I think the problem was that a herd was coming. I mean, they mentioned it a couple of times, especially to the late Todd, who was the kid from the last episode who Mara was abusing, and that was the savior chick who had the bad attitude.
Yeah. I mean, I get all that, but if we're playing fast and loose with the rules already, so why not just make it so that Aaron can, you know, take care of that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, certainly that is usually the, you know, what they do. I mean, we saw them put down Sasha, you know, last season after the fact. So, I don't know. Like I say, the only thing I can think of is that, you know, he's going to show up next episode or something. But we will see.
I guess. Just seems like they should have taken care of it this episode. But maybe it's just me. But Morales, I wasn't really surprised that he didn't make it out of this episode, honestly. I kind of felt like, well, what are they going to do with him? I mean, they can't, at this point in time, I think it would derail All Out War, I'm using quotation marks, if they had Rick get captured. So that doesn't really seem like a viable option.
Yeah. And, you know, like, where would he, like, how would he play a role, you know, going forward? Like, I'm kind of surprised, Laura, you didn't see it coming. I mean, I did see it coming. I knew he was going to die. He had to die. It was just a question of how. And, you know, maybe the way that he died, like Daryl just, you know, killing him without even really acknowledging who he was. Of course, he, you know, you see Rick, you know, say no, and, you know, tells him right away. And he's like, you know, doesn't matter, according to Daryl. And it really didn't matter, you know, I mean.
Yeah. He said, I knew who he was, and it doesn't matter. He's like, well. All right.
Yeah. Speaking of Daryl, the last awesome sauce. Go ahead. Do you want to say it or should I?
Faith says Daryl. Just every moment with him this episode.
Yeah. So she was a big fan.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. I wrote down Daryl's hardcore. He's not messing around. But at the same time, I feel like he knows the Savior's best, so it makes sense that he would be that way, right?
Yeah. Especially, you know, he was kept in one of those cells that, you know, he saw one of those cells, not the same cell, because it was a different building, different outpost last week. And, you know, so he's got a big score to settle with the Savior, so he's not taking prisoners.
Yeah, see, this is what I'm saying. He knows best.
Yeah. He and Tara are lock, stock, and barrel, I think. They are just, you know, in complete synchronicity.
Simpatico.
Yep.
They're in lockstep.
Yep. All right. Do you have any more awesome sauce that wasn't covered?
I agree about Daryl. That's probably pretty much it.
Yeah. I'm going to give an awesome sauce to two things. First is the fight between Jesus and Morgan. I thought that that was incredible. I thought that, like Cheryl said, you know, how we realize that Morgan isn't, like, you know, out to kill him. He just snapped there for a minute, you know? So I thought that was maybe the most interesting part of that scene. And second, I got to give one to Ezekiel and his attitude. Although I have to say that he just tempted fate a little too much. That, I think we were talking about it before we started, but that string of, you know, undefeated, you know, how long could that have lasted? Were you talking about that, or was that with somebody else I was talking about it with?
That was someone else, because yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Just that this string of being, you know, not losing anybody, the fact that he kept bringing that up, it's like, dude, you're just tempting fate. Somebody's going to get it. And it looked like in the last few frames of the episode, some of the kingdom knights, I guess I will call them. Yeah, they didn't do so well. You know, it looks like they found that 50 cal and found it with their lives. A little dramatic there.
Well, I wouldn't exactly say they found it with their lives. I would say they found it and it cost them their lives.
Yes. Yes, but that.
I like Ezekiel a lot. He is, I think, my favorite character right now. He's fun to watch and seems like he's the only optimistic one out there right now, which is nice because I need a little optimism, but I'm not sure how long that's going to last after this most recent episode, I guess.
Yeah, especially how it ends for them.
That's what I'm talking about, which I don't know. I guess we'll get into that after a little while.
Well, it is now time for the weak variety.
You're worthless and weak.
Weak sauce. All right. First is from Cheryl, and she goes by the alternate title of Lame Sauce, which seems to be popular amongst our feedback people. Seems like I've created a monster with the Lame Sauce. There were more than enough, but I will go with Maggie letting Gregory into Hilltop. That character is as wishy-washy as Charlie Proud. He is only for himself. I think it would be funny if Maggie had called him by a wrong name as he did her in the beginning.
Yeah, that would have been great.
Yeah, I am sure that everyone will talk about Morales only being on for like 20 minutes before Daryl just did away with him. Was the hype worth it? No. Yeah, I would agree with that. The hype wasn't worth it. And, you know, just I think I said last week, The Walking Dead did a crossover with itself from season one.
That is funny.
Yeah. I almost gave this 9.5 sorghum pancakes.
Sorghum pancakes.
Yeah. Remember Gregory stole sorghum pancakes from a little girl?
Oh, I don't remember that, but I remember that they said that.
That interaction that that he had, you know, when he starts saying the cow's delusional.
Yeah, and he flips him off. That was hysterical.
That was funny. that was some really good, comic relief in a pretty tense episode.
Quality comedy. I can kind of, this is hard to say.
Okay.
But I can kind of see where Maggie's coming from, because in the heat of the moment, I would definitely not let him in. However, given the opportunity to think about it a little bit, and especially in the face of someone's pathetic whinings, I might possibly have been convinced to let him in. Maybe.
Yeah.
But I definitely would put him on a leash and make him be, I would give him all the worst jobs.
Yeah.
You are now going to work off the debt that you accrued whilst you were doing nothing previously.
Time to go milk the cows.
Yeah, you can't even kill a walker. So you are basically good for nothing. And all you can do is clean the slop buckets or something. Basically the work that no one else wants to do. That would be what I would say. I would basically give him that ultimatum. You can come in. This will be your life now.
Yeah. Like the job that Samwell Tarly had at the Citadel.
Much. Yep.
Yep. And if you don't get that reference, that's from Game of Thrones. And he had to both dole out the stew and collect the waste from said stew.
Yeah, the post stew. He was pre and post stew. And it was not pretty. It started to look the same. And
it did.
Very unappetizing, because the chamber pots were the same as the stew pots, yeah. Basically.
They looked almost identical.
Yeah. So that's a job I definitely would not want, is emptying chamber pots or any kind of sewage related job. Anyway, I'm pretty sure that would be my stipulation. I would pretty much tell him, yeah, you can come in. I don't know. Yeah, that would be what I'd tell him. All right.
All right. Let's move on to the next couple. Why don't you take the next two? Because they're pretty short.
Okay. Judy says, Aaron leaving Eric by a tree. I have to disagree with that a little bit, because I'm not really sure what else he was supposed to do.
And yeah.
He had responsibilities. And personally, I thought running off with Eric was kind of the lame thing, in my opinion. I was like, man, he's just going to run off and screw everybody else. And I'm out of here with my boo.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I understand the sentiment and wanting to get your loved one to safety, but I absolutely had more respect for Eric, because Eric was like, no, you got to go. You got to get back there and do what you came to do. Because as he said, people are relying on him. He had responsibilities, and sometimes your responsibility can clash with other things that are equally as important to you. But I mean, if Eric is saying leave, then I think you definitely should.
Yeah, I'm of the same opinion. Eric told him to go, that his people needed him, and his people did need him. Mm-hmm. And he should go. So, yeah, I don't agree with you, Judy, but I do understand. It was kind of, sad and weak that he got left, but I don't really see how there was a way that he couldn't have been left. All right, next one.
Reese says, Maggie and Jesus, and she elaborates in the feedback.
Yeah, there was had to do a couple of those kind of things when I was pacing the feedback in. It's like, okay, well, how much do I want to say now, and how much do I want, you know, said later? And in this case, Reese, we'll say it more later. But we will get out your feedback in its entirety. All right, next is Dieta, and I made the opposite decision with hers. Weak sauce is Jesus. Why on earth has he decided not to kill all of a sudden? This is all out war. It's either kill or be killed. And why does he keep trying to stop everybody else from doing what they had planned, which is to end the saviors? Fighting Morgan to stop him from killing the runaway saviors, Jesus should have stayed his peacemaking self at the hilltop since he doesn't want to fight. Well, you know, I will say, you know, when it comes to Jesus, he doesn't want to kill. Jesus saves. I don't know why it took me so long to find something for Jesus, but I'm glad that I now have a Jesus jingle. Lord Jesus. Yeah, well,
I understand where he's coming from and I get his mindset. However, as I stated last week, this seems like a logistical nightmare and not something that they are really equipped to handle.
And I agree with you from last week as well. These are things that should have been figured out ahead of time. They should have had all of this worked out. And, you know, they had this elaborate plan. Why the hell did they not figure out, okay, what are we going to do when Savior surrender? Do we, you know, what do we do with them? Where do we take them? Do we take them at all? Do we say no? We are killing you on the spot because you are low down, dirty saviors. You know, this should have been decided and not, you know, ready for interpretation. This should have been figured out because this is going to happen. I mean, this does happen in war. People surrender all the time. And what are you supposed to do with them? You know?
Yeah. Not only that, but are you going to give them the opportunity to surrender? Because in some instances, people who may or may not have surrendered aren't necessarily provided a chance to do so.
Right.
As in, we don't pause in our gunfire, pretty much, is kind of what I'm thinking. Like, we just move in, swoop in, and just shoot everything that moves without really stopping. And saying, you know, are you going to fight back or am I just, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's kind of like
I do
where everyone is viewed as a hostile. And so everyone needs to be dealt with. And in that instance, there is no room for surrender or the possibility of surrender or the possibility that someone might not fight back. But Jesus is suddenly seems like he's taken it upon himself to, oh, gee, I didn't think about that before. And, you know, when he comes across the very first person who does that, who basically pretended to pee himself. Well, he actually peed himself, but he pretended that he peed himself in fear and threw down his weapon, but then ended up being a manipulative douchebag. So I feel like Jesus is wrong in this instance, but I don't know. I don't know exactly what I would do in a similar situation. So it's a tough call because, like I said, logistically, how exactly are they going to handle this? And in this particular instance with this particular group of people, we know that some of them are going to be instigators, as was proved in this episode.
Right.
There was a group that said, no way, man, they have guns. I'm not running. and they were afraid. Some of them got eaten. The majority of them did not.
Right.
And then there is long-haired hippie douchebag, whose name I can't remember and don't care to learn, who immediately riles up his group and gets them to take off, which ends up being a bad deal for at least one of them. But of course, he skates and doesn't get killed. I would have immediately popped that guy. Not the guy that was on the ground. I would have popped that guy because he's the one you put down the instigator. The rest of them aren't gonna. He basically got them to start running. I don't know if they would have started running without him, but they definitely started running with him. So he's the one that needs to go. And I'm not necessarily advocating for summary execution. However, if anyone deserved it, it's that guy.
Yes, well, I will call him anti-Jesus. And I will also say, Jesus, you're wrong. Which sounds very wrong. But anyway.
I feel like you need to repent.
Yeah, Douche Nozzle Jared is his name. And
I don't care.
What? Yeah. You could also call him One Dimensional Jared because he is extremely one dimensional in his douche nozzleness. I mean, like, why does he try to, poke Morgan? Like, what purpose is that?
Because that's the kind of person he is.
Yeah. So I'll just say it now. He's my weak sauce. Just because he's just such an a-hole.
Yep.
So, yeah.
I don't understand why he's still alive, quite frankly. It blows my mind.
Yeah. I totally agree with you. Why did Morgan pop the other guy and not pop him? He should have shot that MF in the head and be done with it.
That's what I would have done. I would have been like, you have now expended all of your 9 lives. Blammo. Honestly, I can say I'm pretty sure the rest of them, I don't think I could have lined people up and executed them. I don't think I could have done that. However, if I were Morgan and last week happened and I had come blazing out of the building, I would have shot that guy. I wouldn't have let Jesus talk me out of it. I wouldn't have paused. I would have seen his face and remembered what he did to
Ben.
Ben.
2 weeks in a row you forgot his name.
Well,
that's okay.
He died, so.
Yeah.
I would have remembered what he had done to my tiny little protege, and who, I mean, he was a great kid. He was a good-hearted person. He was a great kid. All he wanted was good things.
Right.
And to take care of his brother. I would have seen that and then seen that guy and remembered what that guy did, and I would have shot him. I would have killed him. No hesitation. Because that guy, we can say with 100% certainty, does deserve to die.
Yeah.
And me knowing that, I would happily be his executioner. Because to me, what he did was wrong, and he deserved it. He deserved to die. And who knows what other countless terrible things that guy's done. So honestly, I feel like he blew his chance last week, and now it's just kind of gotten to the point of being ridiculous.
Yeah, and actually I understand now. He got transferred away from Gavin. That is now something I get, because he had been transferred from Gavin's outpost to the satellite station, because Aaron and Rick, those two parties, are at this that's wrong, where Ezekiel is was Gavin's outpost. That's where they were at the end of the episode. Mm-hmm. You know, and we know that because Todd, who I guess he's been in several other things, that guy, that actor, but he said that, you know, the 50 cals have been taken to Gavin's outpost, and obviously that's what got the Knights of the Kingdom. I don't know if they are called knights, but why not? Just call them knights. So, yeah. So he got transferred. So now I get that whole, you know, were you transferred too? Doesn't excuse it in any way. A douche nozzle is a douche nozzle is a douche nozzle. And he is one of extreme. Anyway.
Yeah, I honestly didn't really care about any word that fell out of his mouth. I just, he is less than nothing, in my opinion. And the character has worn out his welcome.
And supposedly the guy who plays him is a really nice guy. He's actually been on several other podcasts and did a thing at Walker Stalker where he was, reading his, it's a one-man show play. So he's a pretty talented guy and not anywhere like his character, but
They rarely ever are. I mean, they usually always say that. Every guy who, they said that about the kid who plays Joffrey. He's just the sweetest kid. Unfortunately, he was saddled with the worst character known to man. And some people cannot differentiate fact from fiction, reality from fantasy, and have apparently given him a hard time about being Joffrey.
Right.
Not because he actually is Joffrey, but because he did his job so well.
Yep. Yeah. Some people just, they don't understand the difference. You know, it's the same people that were giving Josh McDermott death threats after the season finale last season. You know, like, he's not Eugene. Okay.
I know. I feel so bad for him.
I know.
So ridiculous.
Yeah.
Had to deactivate his social media because people are idiots.
Yeah.
Anyway, that being said, that guy's character needs to go. I'm done with him.
Yes. He's already been alive too long. All right. Why don't you give the last two?
Okay. Lara says, lame sauce, number one. So, will characters be monologuing at gunpoint and debating their moral divisions right in front of the enemy all through this war? Ugh. I agree. I also was thinking to myself when Jesus and Morgan were having their tiny little disagreement, do you have to do this right here? I mean, can we go somewhere else and talk? Because all you're doing is giving them ammunition, showing them your weakness.
I was just checking, and she did not give a number two. So I think she intended to give a number two, unless it turned into the rest of her feedback. I don't know, but
possibly.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just to keep us on our toes. Anyway, yes, I agree, Lara. Then Faith says, lame sauce. Why on God's green earth is Gregory still breathing? This better pay off big in the end.
Yeah, why?
I agree.
Why is he still breathing?
I don't know. But this brings me to something I never thought I would say. Where is Father Gabriel?
He's too busy putting on his poopy pants.
Yeah. I really, really, really was a little disappointed that Maggie didn't drill down a little bit deeper about where is Father Gabriel.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. And
because you showed up in his car without him. And pretty much it would come out that, oh, that guy that tried to come save me, who I just ran off and left? Yeah.
It'll come out, I'm sure. Unless he dies. You know, Gabriel dies, then if he dies before, you know, he gets to back to them, then that will not get out. But I really hope that it does get out because...
Well, I wanted what's-his-face, Gregory, to cop to it. Basically, cave under the scrutiny.
Gregory is not going to cop.
Why didn't you show up with, you know, where's Father Gabriel? What happened to Father Gabriel? Why do you have his car, but he's not here? That kind of stuff.
Yeah. I would expect some backtracking, but, you know, yeah, they could have probed him a little more, and maybe they still will, you know, but I don't know.
Well, again, I feel like the opportunity to do that was right then. But they didn't. Like, why would you not? I mean, that would be as it was for her, the first thing that came out of my mouth. Which, yeah. I thought that they were going there, honestly, because she's all, that's his car, where is he? You know, I mean, she didn't really say that. She just kind of said, that's his car. And then nothing. I was like, where's the follow through?
Yeah.
That's his car, where is he? That should be the next question.
Yeah, well... Gregory is a lying sack of poopy pants. Well, maybe not the pants part, but.
And I have to say, in the premiere, I knew it was going to be a bad idea to try and save Gregory.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, what are you doing? You know what they say, no good deed goes unpunished, and that's exactly what happened.
Yep. All right, do you have any more of the week variety?
Well, honestly, I mean, sort of. When the walkers started showing up and rolling downhill out of nowhere, I kind of was thinking to myself, yet again, another contingency that they should have worked out before getting in this situation. But that's kind of just, you know, more of the same.
Yeah, that one reeked of Greg Nicotero. I mean, he's like, oh, what cool thing can we have the walkers do this time? And it wasn't that cool. So
I didn't really mind that part of it very much. But I minded that they weren't prepared to deal with it.
Because
sudden walkers showing up is kind of par for the course in this world. So, I mean, you swore not to kill these people, but that's pretty much what you just did. Because when you chain people together and they can't get away, and then something that's mobile and can kill and eat you shows up, I feel like you shouldn't be surprised if people get killed and eaten. And if that was not your plan, then maybe you should have planned better.
Yeah, what's with the walkers going after head? Eating a bald head. It just seems to me that it would be better meat than to go after somebody's head.
Well, I guess they're going with the trope of brains.
I guess so.
I don't know.
Like a nice juicy arm or a leg to me, or even a side of the tummy to me would be a much better piece to go for than somebody's head. A lot of bones in that head.
Yeah, you do have to crack the skull open in order to get to the juicy center.
Yeah. All right. Beyond that, do you have any more weak sauce?
Not really.
All right. Well, I guess I don't have any more than what's already been said. I am kind of disappointed that they got rid of Morales so quickly, you know, but I don't know if that's weak.
Not me. I say good riddance to bad rubbish.
I didn't think he would, you know, last beyond the episode, but I figured he'd last beyond, you know, a scene, which was a fairly long scene, but nevertheless.
He had like two cuts.
Yeah. Okay. He had two cuts. Yeah. And I thought it was kind of surprising. I guess this isn't weak when he reacted to Glenn being married and that the widow is his wife. You know?
Yeah. I sort of felt like, honestly, if he didn't care about the fact that Negan killed Glenn, nothing was going to affect him.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like arguing on the internet. It's not really going to accomplish anything, so you might as well not even bother.
Oh, here's...
You're never going to change someone's mind.
I just thought of something that I didn't mention as part of that same scene. I'll give a weak sauce to no mention of Dale. Poor Dale didn't get mentioned. And, you know, certainly he would have been one of the people that that Rick could have mentioned because, you know, Morales obviously knew him. I don't think Jackie would have been, you know, a big, you know, comeback. But, you know, if you remember Jackie, she died in the next episode. But Dale, you know, was around for most of season two. And we were sad to see him go. So, you know, but he didn't mention Dale anyway. So.
Well, yeah. But at the same time, again, if he didn't really balk at the death of Glenn, it wouldn't necessarily matter who he said or didn't say.
Yeah. All right. That's it for my weak sauce. And Judy, PB and Zane, made a new category of sauces. We have a whole new line of sauces called Sad Sauce. Mm. I just went with that. So she says, I made a new category, Sad Sauce. Morgan's change. I don't like the direction he went, but I guess it was inevitable. He's getting tired. He couldn't take a sidekick from Jesus. He walked away. Oh, no. He's the Bull Bergdahl of The Walking Dead. Too soon? In the end, I guess he is still in there somewhere. And I had to go look that one up. I guess I'm not as well versed in the news as I used to be. Shame on Brian. But, you know, he was a deserter, I guess, from Afghanistan. And supposedly he has been diagnosed and suffers from schizotypal, I guess it is, personality disorder and post-traumatic stress disorder. And I had to go look up what the heck is schizotypal personality disorder.
We're talking about Bo Bergdahl.
Yes. Yes. But I wondered how that fit for Morgan. And it kind of does. It says it is a mental disorder characterized by severe social anxiety, thought disorder, paranoia, hallucination, derealization, transient psychosis, and often unconventional beliefs. So interesting. And I guess his story or case was covered in season two of Serial, which I haven't listened to yet. So you ever listen to the Serial podcast?
Nope.
It's interesting. It's a, you know, true crime thing. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's kind of funny. I don't know if you pulled that rabbit out of your hat there, Judy, but it kind of does sound like some of what, certainly, you know, Morgan suffers from PTSD. I mean, that's very obvious, but
I'm pretty sure they're all suffering from PTSD.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously. But the unconventional beliefs idea is something that Morgan has suffered from in the past. The, I'm not going to kill anyone, you know, And he's definitely had, you know, he's hallucinated. So some of that, I think fits him. I don't know. I'm not a professional psychologist, so I cannot diagnose him, but I would love to try.
Yeah, I agree. I kind of am in the camp of, I don't know what's happening. I'm not really sure I like it. Can someone please help Morgan?
Well, Judy, since you created this new category, I will mention something. I was talking earlier about Aaron and Eric, and I thought that it was particularly sad that Aaron was unable to put down the zombified Eric. And I know, you know, as we said, you know, is he dead? I'm pretty sure he's dead, though. So given that that assumption, the fact that he couldn't put him down, I thought was particularly sad. And that's all I have to say about that.
All right,
let's go on to Simon.
We can talk about it.
Done talking. Time to listen.
Love that, Simon. He's a bad guy that, you know, he's one of those love to hate bad guys. Very effective on this show, I think.
Yeah.
All right. Cheryl's first. Why don't you read Cheryl's?
All right. Cheryl says, Monsters was a monster of an episode. People complained last week that nothing was explained well. This week, it was a great opening of explanation of strategy. I still think that Jesus is wrong, but now they seem to be doing a Terminus style of holding in a storage unit out back. Finally, Rick and Daryl out of bullets, and Rick saved baby Gracie. But now we have to worry about King Ezekiel's bunch. There is always something.
There is always something indeed. I was going to say, you know, it's funny. I think we hear monsters twice in this episode. Like, Rick is called a monster by Morales. Mm-hmm. And then Gregory says that the saviors are monsters. So
Morgan also says we're monsters, doesn't he?
I think he does, yes. So that was the key word of the week.
Mm-hmm. Which I disagreed with him, honestly. I was like, no, I don't think that's true. I can't remember exactly what he said. I can't remember if he actually used the word monster or
I think he said we're the same. He said we're the same a couple of times, which I don't agree either.
Yeah, that's what I don't agree with. Like, no, you're not the same.
Yeah, they don't. The saviors, you know, when they kill somebody, they beat their brains to a pulp. You know, that is not something that Rick and Ezekiel and Maggie's people do. They, when they kill until they're dead, and they don't kill until, you know, they can become soup. Yes. All right. Next is Judy, also known as PB Insane, and she says, Ezekiel's plan. Yeah, I liked it. Eric makes a joke, hee-hee, chuckle-chuckle. Aaron leaves him outside by a tree. No fear of walkers. Well, there used to be a fear of walkers, but now it's a fear of other humans. Where did he go? Oh, no, he turned. Wait, what did I miss? How did Gabriel get out? Was that Gabriel? Maybe I need a rewatch and to pay more attention. Gregory, just kill the dude. Maggie sends him away like a two-year-old. Whoa, Daryl, I love how heartless he was in the episode. What an ending. Love, love, love the cliffhanger there. Okay, I just watched Talking Dead, and who I thought was Gabriel wasn't. That answers that. And I think she's talking about Scott, right? That's who she was talking about? Like, a couple times we see...
No idea.
Yeah, I think, you know, we see Scott kind of consoling Aaron. So that has to be what she saw and why. I could see why she would think it was Gabriel, but it wasn't Gabriel.
Don't put words in her mouth and make her sound all racist.
No, just
like all black people look alike.
No. It was the angle.
Just kidding.
We don't think you're racist, Judy.
To be honest, we have no idea who you were talking about. So, I'm also wondering where Gabriel is.
Well, unfortunately, he is most likely still with Negan, and I don't know if we'll see him next week or not.
I did not like the cliffhanger, honestly. I was like, oh, gosh. But it didn't make much sense to me either. I'm like, I don't really understand what's going on right now. Are they, because it appeared that at the end of the episode, when we find out that the 50 cal is moved and it was moved the previous day, that kind of suggests that they were expected, that someone knew that the gang was showing up, was going to show up. And so they moved the 50 cal. And they moved the 50 cal to a location where the kingdom was going to ambush, I guess, basically. You know what I'm saying? Are you following me?
I do. Like, it seems like, you know, they knew that they were going to come. But, like, I don't know. It's like he knew, but at the same time, it didn't seem like the saviors were all that well prepared. Except for the fact that they moved the 50 cal, you know, so, and we see a heck of a lot of saviors get killed in this episode and the previous one.
See, that was my other thought. I'm like, okay, well, do they just have people to burn so they don't care?
Yeah, cannon fodder, which,
right,
you know, Gregory calls the hilltop cannon fodder, but it seems like the saviors are cannon fodder for Negan, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. That was ultimately going to be my question then. So did they just, you know, expecting the kingdom and they just sacrificed all those people? I have no idea.
Yeah, and the question that I've got is, you know, what did Negan know and what didn't he know, and how much of it was just him expecting an attack and him just like reacting to, you know, taking some strategy by moving, you know, this 50 cal, thinking that, you know, Rick was coming, you know, just out of design, not out of knowledge, but just out of like strategy.
Luck.
luck. Yeah. Luck is also a good question there. I don't know.
I don't either.
So do you think Negan has, a mole, and if he has a mole, who's the mole?
I know
who it has to be. It's Enid. God, I hope that finally dies, because I can't stand it. No, I don't think Enid is a spy. For any of you first time listeners, that whole theory just, I can't stand.
Yeah. It's dumb.
In fact, Jason on the Talking Dead podcast mentioned that again this week.
He's just not going to let that go.
He won't.
I don't think anyone is a spy. I think it's possible that, I am sucking at names lately. It's
Dwight.
I knew it was there. I just couldn't bring it up. I would think that, I don't really think this is the case either. However, it is possible that perhaps Dwight got discovered, because I don't think at this point in time that Dwight would willfully betray Rick and the gang at this point in time. Yeah. I feel like he is all in with wanting Negan to die. However, he could unwittingly have or been made to mislead them.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
I don't think there is any other spy.
Yeah. I mean, either he got wind or, you know, like I think we said last week, you know, the whole like thing that Steve Jobs used to do where he'd, you know, have, you know, here are three different designs.
One person, one thing, another person, right. Another thing. And yeah. Whatever gets out, that's who, you know, is leaking stuff.
Right.
Yep.
Something like that. I don't know. But
either.
Yeah, I am curious who they're, you know, if there's a mole, who's the mole and what do they know? So,
yep.
Because to me, I can't think of an obvious person at this point.
No,
but
I don't think there is one.
Tobin. It's Tobin.
Poor Tobin.
It's not Tobin. All right. Shall we move on to Reese?
Yep. Okay. Reese says, I was really frustrated with some of the decisions made in this episode. Why did Maggie let Gregory stay? He has proven that he can't be trusted and he'll turn on them at any moment to protect himself. So why is she risking their safety to help him? She doesn't even have to kill. All she has to do is tell him he can't stay here. It's there. I'm equally angry with Jesus because his decisions put them at a disadvantage when the war is just getting started. His idea to keep prisoners means they have to use their resources to keep those people for an unknown amount of time. Those people have to be guarded 24/7, so people that could be used to fight have to stay and guard the saviors. I just don't understand why he's willing to sacrifice the safety of his people to protect the saviors. Yeah, I agree.
Gregory.
Yeah. I also agree that, like I was saying earlier, they don't have a really good way of determining who amongst the people that they have taken prisoners are a threat and who is really just, you know, one of the workers or whatever, not a threat, is really possibly kept there by force or whatever. Like, they don't want to be there, but they have no other choice. Can't get away, right. Kind of a thing. Because certainly I agree that you don't necessarily want to kill the workers, but how to determine who's who? I feel like they should have, if this is his mindset, this should have been discussed beforehand and they should have come up with some sort of, probably not foolproof way, but some kind of method of attempting to determine who is a worker and who is a savior or who is Negan or whatever, as Morales right. So eloquently, said whatever.
Right.
So that until you can determine that those people that you have are, as she said, a potential threat to, they're basically, they could be a Trojan horse. And like she said, they have to have people who could be used for fighting to guard them. They're going to be using up their resources and it's just a bad idea. I don't have an alternate plan, but I'm not the one fighting a war. So,
right.
I just don't feel, I feel like this was not thought out all the way to its logical conclusion, which is it's possible that you could have people who could basically have an insurrection inside your gates. And then you have a war on two fronts. You have, you know, the front guard and the rear guard. And when people get you on two sides like that, it's never a good thing. So I just, it frustrated me as well, Reese. Jesus is wrong.
Jesus is wrong.
And she's right, too. It does put them at a disadvantage. The war is just getting started. You can't take prisoners at the beginning of the war because you just basically crippled yourself.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a bad idea.
It totally is.
Yep.
All right. Anything else to say about Reese's points? All right. Monica's next. She says, the only thing I saw as a reason for bringing Morales back into the picture was to show how heartless Daryl has become. Maybe. That and the whole thing felt more like a misleading tease for the episode. Kind of like when Rick cut his hand wide open at the end of one episode, and then it wasn't even a thing on the next episode. Bait and switch, in my opinion. Yeah, that was the same. That was actually the same episode as the dumpster episode, and that was the thing in many ways that I was kind of freaking out about at the end, because you get this. You have this, you know, cliffhanger where the walkers are coming and he's in this RV and he can't get the car started and his hands all, you know, bleeding profusely. And you're wondering, oh my God, how's he going to get out of this? Because you don't think he's going to be able to get out of the RV in time. And he does. And, two episodes later, because the next episode is Here's Not Here, which is... all Morgan all the time. But when we finally see him come back, that's when we see him just running towards the gate. Open the gate! Yeah. So, yeah, it was kind of bait and switch, like I say, and his death came out of nowhere. But definitely I saw a big difference in many ways between Daryl and Rick, especially this episode, where Daryl has no problem whatsoever in killing whatever savior comes his way, and Rick seems to be not so much.
Yeah, he's hesitating.
Yeah, and he's hesitating a lot. You know, I understand why, but I mean, can Morales be saved? I don't think he could be saved. He's a savior.
Yeah. Not one. He straight out said he was Negan. At that point in time, I would have been like, okay, blammo.
Yes. When you are challenged by your so-called enemy, who are you? Are you Negan? And he says, yeah, I'm Negan. Yeah, that's a death sentence as far as I'm concerned.
Yep.
All right. Dieta's next.
All right. Dieta says, the saviors must die, all of them. First Morgan, now Jesus. What is it with these people? Yes, they may be killing for revenge, but what's wrong with that? I say kill them all. They surely showed no mercy when it came to our group. Has Morgan gone back to the clear days, or is he losing it? Morgan just walks off into the woods after the fight with Jesus. Where is he going? Tara says he is right to kill, but it's too late. Maggie, please don't let them get refuge at the hilltop. You, of all people, should not want any saviors anywhere near her or the hilltop people. It's one thing to let old Snake Gregory back in, but a whole pack of killer saviors? Nope. All the other groups are out fighting and killing and not taking any prisoners. Are there any Alexandrians left? I saw a couple of them go down during the attacks. I also enjoyed the Rolling Hill Walkers. That was kind of neat. I just think they should have just let the Walkers get the Savior prisoners instead of wasting bullets and resources. King Ezekiel leading the troops to a victory cut short by a massacre, but we have to wait to see who survives. And how did he know? This is me. How did he know? I paused on that scene. I couldn't see anything that indicated that there was some type of threat. So how did he know? Yell out, scatter.
Yeah, it was hinted, you know, that he saw something in that window, but I couldn't see anything.
I didn't see anything until there was muzzle flash.
Yeah.
Like there was not any kind of reflection or anything like that. And that's what I was looking for, but I didn't see anything. So
yeah. I mean, maybe any I wasn't
reflection movement. I don't know.
Maybe I wasn't watching it on a big enough TV or something with enough contrast, but I couldn't really see anything, but I definitely could tell he did. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I didn't, you know, dock the episode too much for that, but I did think that it could have been a little more easily seen. All right. Do you have anything else to say about Dieta's feedback?
I think Morgan, I don't know if he's gone back to his clear days. He is definitely losing it, though, because he told Jesus right before he walked off that he's not right. And I think that he meant, I don't necessarily, well, to me anyway, I took it as like, I'm not right, as in I there's something wrong with me. I yeah. need to handle this. Not as in, oh, I was wrong. Not that kind of, he's not right.
That is exactly what he meant. He is not right in the head.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
not that, I'm not right. We shouldn't kill everyone. I'm not right. I have problems. That's, I think, what he meant.
Yeah. And that's why Tara said, you know, you're not wrong, because he isn't wrong. So it's just so, this is what I like about it, because I like that these things are coming up, but I don't like it because, as we said, this should have been discussed and resolved prior to. It's like they had this elaborate plan, but they didn't think a couple of steps ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what about after? You know, what about prisoners? What about, you know?
When the dog chases the car, but doesn't know what to do with the car when he catches the car.
Right. Yeah.
That's my best analogy.
That's a good analogy.
I thought so.
All right. Laura, do you have much to say after or?
Nope.
Okay. Laura's next, and she says, et cetera. I guess this is like stuff that doesn't fit into lame or awesome or weak or whatever you want to call it next week. Walker's rolling down the hill. Most unintentionally silly part of probably the whole series. No. And then she says, and I'll try to say it in a way that doesn't sound like a swear word, fake. Anyway, F-A-C-K. I knew Ezekiel had pushed his luck one too many times when he pointed out that they had not lost not one amongst them. After probably taking out the most saviors than any other team in this episode, I'm afraid now that the kingdom has just lost the most, with two very crying emojis. Random question. Do you think Tobin has confronted Carol yet about why she dumped him and is hanging out with Ezekiel now? Wait, never mind. Because he's a freaking king with a badass tiger? Then she says, feel free to add this to the end of my feedback, Brian. Hashtag, sorry, not sorry, Tobin.
No, I don't think that she has had a chance to. I don't think Tobin has had a chance to talk to her.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, they're not a thing, although it seems like they're getting to the point where they'll be a thing. Because now she's smiling. You know, she's like, what's the word I'm looking for? She's digging what he's singing. Yep. That's, yeah.
She's picking up what he's setting down, smelling what he's cooking. Yep. Yeah, I pretty much knew also that Ezekiel, I mean, you just never say, we're not going to lose anyone. You just never say that. You just don't. It's like when you're having a slow day at work and someone says out loud, man, it's really slow today. You just want to punch them because... Man, you are the reason why we are about to get slammed. I just want everyone to know it's your fault. I mean, there are things that we're all thinking it, but no one says it out loud because the rest of us are smart enough.
All right, next is Faith.
Okay, Faith says, I unexpectedly cried with Aaron. I didn't think that would happen, but man, he got me. First, when he wanted to go after Zombie Eric, and again when he volunteered to take Gracie. Side note, Gracie did not have the bunny with her, so maybe that is Judith in the flash-forward/dream sequence. They're both being cold-blooded, but I completely agree with how Daryl and Morgan are going about this war. People need to die. Jesus, I know you don't want to kill people, but maybe put that aside for now? Here's an idea. When a bunch of saviors tied together start running, shoot one of them in the stomach. That one bleeds out, turns, and takes care of the rest. Easy peasy. I wonder how this much carnage is going to affect Ezekiel. He was so happy to have made it through with no casualties. This won't go over well with him, but I'm not sure how he will react just yet. Maybe he'll stop with the soliloquies for a minute.
Yeah. Good catch on the bunny. I did not catch that on first watch, but after you said that, I was looking for it, and very true. He did not have the bunny with him when he gave her to Aaron. Yeah. So another thing that, she mentions there is about the, you know, the strategy there, the easy peasy strategy. That's essentially what they did, you know, in that, courtyard area with the saviors, you know, Aaron's team there. Pin them down so that they can't get out and the dead will take care of the rest.
Yep. That is a pretty good plan.
Definitely unconventional, but I would say very conventional for this, you know, zombie apocalypse.
Mm-hmm. I would say the one that gets shot in the stomach is a long-haired douche guy.
He's got it coming. And yeah, I'm hoping at this point for either a very quick or a quite spectacular death, you know, like him getting eaten by a walker in the most gruesome possible way.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause any death he gets is well deserved.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have anything else, or should we move to? I don't have anything else. I think we've mentioned it all.
Yeah, I don't really have anything else either. There were a lot of things that I found kind of frustrating this episode, but I do like the decisiveness with which Daryl is handling matters. And I rather appreciated the fact that, I don't think Rick did, but I did, the fact that Daryl killed him, because it was kind of like, well, you know, Rick kept his word. he promised that he would let him go, but Daryl didn't make any such promises. And I'm sure that's exactly what he was thinking in his head. Yeah, you can promise to let him go. I didn't make that promise. So...
Right.
Your ass is grass, basically.
The only thing that I see, I don't think we talked about, was in the cold open, you know, we see that, you know, that strategy where the kingdom, you know, knights managed to kill all the saviors without, you know, them able to get off and even a shot. Like, how the heck did that happen? That would be my one question is... Because it looked like it took several seconds, but not a one ducked or, you know, took cover or was able to shoot any rounds off. That was kind of, I tend to think that's not how it happened. What I think probably happened was it all happened at once, but the way it was shot, it made it look like it had happened over a longer period of time. And I think it could have been, you know, shot or edited a little better to convey that it was all at once. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, to submit your feedback to us, go to goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, where you can submit text or audio. And on that page is SpeakPipe widget. And there's also the phone number, which is 304-837-2278, and leave a voicemail. Or like most people, in fact, all of our feedback this week came through the Facebook group, which is at facebook.com/groups/walkingdeadgsm. We've been experimenting with our Gmail account to get some feedback that way, and that's at walkingdeadgsm@gmail.com. The deadline for submitting feedback is 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, Tuesday after the episode is aired. You can also reach us on Twitter. That's at Walking Dead GSM. And other ways to support us would be at goldenspiralmedia.com/support. And hey, give us a rating or review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. We would really, really appreciate that because it's been since April and we haven't gotten anything since. So goldenspiralmedia.com/apple. I think I said that already. And subscribe on Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast app you use. Our next episode is called Some Guy. I love that. Season 8, Episode 4. We don't know who it's written or directed by, but the description from AMC.com is a new weapon in the Savior arsenal. That's obviously the 50 cal. Proves to be a giant hurdle as fighting continues between Rick's forces and those of the Saviors.
Yeah. New weapon indeed. Well, at this point in time, we normally end. However, I have some news, an announcement to make. It's, depending on who you are, it could be sad news or happy news. I have decided to step back from the podcast. I, at this point in my, I now have a new position in my, at my job. And I have to stay later. And it is not really very feasible at this point in time to be able to record on a weekly basis. Since I'm getting off work much later than I used to, it's not really working out that well to continue doing this. That's not to say that I won't ever be back. But at this point in time, I am going to step back from the show. So this will be my last episode for the foreseeable future.
And I could say that about 1,000 times. But definitely, Ruthie, anytime you want to come back, we would love to have you back. As far as a co-host, this is something we still have to work out. Obviously, Kyle is going to be involved. I don't know if he's going to be able to do it on a week-to-week basis. That's something that, quite honestly, we still have to work out. This is kind of Ruthie made her decision to step down just before we started recording. So, as far as future, I know I will have someone next week to come on. I don't know if it'll be Kyle, but if it won't be Kyle, it'll be a guest host. And we will figure out how we continue, but I am still going to be here and one way or the other with Kyle or with somebody else or lots of somebody else's. I don't know. We'll keep going. But Ruthie, I'm really sorry to see you go.
Just at this point in time, I don't really have any plans to do another podcast, but we'll see what happens. You never know what the future may hold.
Yeah.
I may show up here and there on as a guest on people stuff. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, I know... you do this with a heavy heart, and I'm very sad to see you go. I mean, we've been doing this podcast now for 3 years, so I'm sad to see you go, but don't be a stranger.
All right.
Well, anyway, with that sad news, I will say good night.
Journey into the endless realities of your mind with the Electric Dreams Podcast. From the genius of Philip K. Dick comes a series of short stories adapted for the small screen by a creative team including Ronald D. Moore and Brian Cranston.
And each episode of the anthology series will be dedicated to one of Philip K. Dick's stories. This series will expand the realm of possibility beyond the realm of reality and make one take a deeper look into their own existence.
Join Wayne and Steve on the Electric Dreams podcast
on Golden Sparrow Media.
Are you a podcaster who loves creating great content but gets overwhelmed by the audio editing process? Are you a business professional or an entrepreneur that wants to start a podcast but aren't sure where to begin? You need Pro Podcast Solutions. Pro Podcast Solutions has a robust suite of services to equip podcasters and help podcasters create better content than ever before. Visit ProPodcastSolutions.com today and find out how you can get your first episode produced for free. That's ProPodcastSolutions.com.